Welcome to the Excel Pod. Welcome to Excel and Reflect. In a world that rarely slows down, this is your invitation to pause. Each week, together, we step away from the noise of life and lean into the stillness of God's Word, creating space to try to think deeply and meditate intentionally and reflect honestly on the words of God. Every episode centers on a specific biblical text or spiritual truth, not for surface-level reading, but for thoughtful engagement that allows God's Word to shape our lives. You see, this podcast is a place that, for only a few minutes, if you will, we can slow down, listen carefully, and try to be formed by the truth of Scripture, whether this is for personal devotion, a quiet meditation, or intentional reflection. So today, with me, as we begin our week, as we begin our day, take a breath, open your heart, and join me as we seek to excel in our understanding and reflect on the faithfulness and goodness of God. This is Excel and Reflect. This week's thought is entitled, The Demands of Righteousness. In Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 1, we read this, Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on law shall live by that righteousness. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is, the word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. This week's reflection is a reflection of faith. There is a question that haunts the human soul across every generation. How does a person stand right before God? It's not a new question. It's not a modern theological puzzle that was cooked up in some seminary classroom. It's the ancient ache of every person who has ever stood in the shadow of their own shortcomings and wondered, am I enough? The answer, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10, is both disarming in its simplicity and profound in its demand. Righteousness does not come by human effort. It comes by faith. Paul, writing to a congregation torn between Jewish heritage and the emerging gospel, lays out two pathways to righteousness. The first is the pathway of law, the road where a person earns standing before God through perfect obedience. Moses described it plainly. The man who practices the righteousness which is based on law shall live by that righteousness, Romans chapter 10 and verse 5. The problem is not that the law was wrong. The problem is that it was impossible. Perfect obedience demands a perfect person, and none of us qualify. The second road is a path of faith. And this is where Paul leans into the very passage that Jews knew by heart, quoting Deuteronomy chapter 30, where he reminds them that the word of God was never far away. It was never locked in heaven, never buried beyond the sea. It was near. It was in their mouth. It was in their heart. The tragedy Paul exposes is not that Israel lacked access to the truth. It's that they failed to recognize that the truth was pointing to Christ the whole time. Here is where the demands of righteousness by faith become both freeing and clarifying. Paul tells us in verse 6 and 7 that faith righteousness does not require sight. You do not need to ascend into heaven to bring Christ down. You do not need to descend into the grave or the abyss to verify that he rose. Those things have already happened. Christ came. Christ died. Christ rose. And Christ ascended, Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. The events of salvation are settled history. And settled history is exactly the kind of thing we believe by testimony, not by experience. C.S. Lewis once made this interesting observation, saying, "Nearly everything we believe on authority. We trust that atoms exist, though we've never seen one. We trust the historical record of events centuries before our birth. We believe in the Norman conquest, not because we watched it happen, but because people who were there left us written accounts." The apostles, Matthew, John, Peter, Paul, James, and Jude, were eyewitnesses. They saw so that we didn't have to. They wrote so that we could believe. And as John put it, "What we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us." 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. If faith righteousness does not require sight, what does it require? Paul on this topic is direct. It requires belief and confession rooted in the Word. The Word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the Word of faith which we are preaching, Romans 10 and verse 8. The gospel is not an abstraction. It's an announcement. And that announcement carries two non-negotiable demands. First of which, Paul says that we are to believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. This is not a casual intellectual nod. It's a conviction, a settled life-shaping persuasion that the resurrection of Jesus is the most important event in human history. It means staking our eternity on an empty tomb. Second, that we must confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Belief and confession are inseparable. And Paul's language here is deeply connected to the moment of baptism, the declaration that a life has been transferred from self-governance to the lordship of Christ, as one is washed by his blood, forgiven of their sins, and added to the church, being transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. The reality is that you cannot hold Jesus as Lord in theory while withholding your life in practice. The deepest tragedy of the Jewish people, Paul describes, is this. The word they were waiting for was standing right in front of them. It wasn't hidden. It wasn't distant. It was near. It was in their mouths. It was in their heart. And yet, as one scholar put it, they were unable to hear it. The very scriptures they recited daily were the scriptures pointing to the Christ that they had rejected. That warning echoes across 2,000 years. The word is still near. The gospel is still being preached. The demands of righteousness by faith are still the same. Not sight, but belief. Not performance, but surrender. Not climbing to heaven or digging into the grave, but opening your heart to the testimony of those who already have. The Hebrew writer writes in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, reminding us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. That's not weakness. That is the very design of God. He did not ask us to witness the resurrection firsthand. He asked us to trust the witnesses that he sent and in trusting them to trust him. You see, righteousness is not something that you earn. It's something that you receive by faith. By faith through the word in response to a risen Lord. Here are three questions that I want you to consider for your own personal growth this week. First, how often do you find yourself relying on your own efforts or religious habits to feel right with God rather than resting in faith? And number two, how does understanding that the apostles saw so we don't have to strengthen your confidence in the gospel? And three, what does it look like practically to confess Jesus as Lord, not in words, but in the daily surrender of your life? As we think about our answering of these questions, let us consider the words of Paul in Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, which say this, "For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation." As we close today's episode, take some time to carry this thought with you into the rest of your day and the rest of your week. Excel and Reflect is more than just a podcast. It really is an invitation to pause, to listen, and to let God's word speak deeply into your life. So don't rush away from all that we have thought about today. Sit with it, think about it, and let it shape the way that you think, the way that you respond, and the way that you walk with God. Each week we'll return with another passage, another truth to consider, and another opportunity to reflect on how Scripture continues to form our hearts and direct our steps. Remember, alongside each episode, we'll also have written articles that will continue that reflection and allow you to take it with you and make notes on your own to dig deeper into these spiritual thoughts. I want to thank you today for joining me. And until next time, I hope that you'll keep your heart open, your mind focused, and your spirit attentive. And let's continue to excel and reflect together.